is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, 10:05 on ESPN 97.5. Del, did you see these amazing Tom Brady stats? Have you seen them?
No, but I do my best to remove myself from Tom Brady hype train at all times.
Well, here's some Tom Brady hype and see what you think. Which one is the most amazing?
He's that played he went from Bridget to Giselle? Is that one on
Bridget,
there?
Bridget, no, I thought that was his one of his worst moves. But
one of his bad decisions.
Me. Yeah, that was a bad, that was a poor, that was like his 3-interception run. So Brady's played one season with the Bucs. He mm-hmm. became their all-time leader in playoff touchdowns.
Well, isn't this, that last more? Weekend. Isn't that more of how the Bucs suck than
well,
it is Brady?
Yeah, but yeah, it kind of does. He had thrown. By the way, everybody's like, "Oh, we had somebody called in. Just lock it in or tweet it. Lock it in. Brady throws 2 picks in the Super Bowl." He had gone 393 passes without an interception on the road in the playoffs.
Well, he's going to be at home.
The previous record was 334 by Brady.
Yeah, I mean, right. We're talking about what Brady's done in the playoffs. There's no questioning. His biggest issues, and they're not big, have been Super Bowls.
Well, see if this isn't. Well, he's 6-3 in Super
That's
Bowls.
That's why I said they're not big, no. But he's thrown pick sixes in Super Bowls, yeah. I mean, or one at least. I mean, the playoff thing, we can get into the numbers and go, yes, greatness, 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 greatness. There's a reason he's won 6. He's great.
Yeah. Which is the most amazing stat? He's since turning 35, he has 17 playoff wins. That is more playoff wins than Montana, Bradshaw, Elway, Young, Manning in their careers. And that's since he turned 35. How about this one? Career postseason wins over NFC teams. Favre has 12, Rodgers has 10, Brady has 9.
Well, yeah.
He's played 1 year in the NFC.
Well, yeah, 6 Super Bowl wins plus a 3 this year.
Yeah.
I can do math, whoever's putting this together.
But I mean, Montana, Rodgers, Favre, Montana has 1 more NFC win. That's kind of amazing.
Yes, it is. But if you know, if you're doing math, it's not that amazing considering he's been to 10, won 6, and then he's on this run. Look. I'm not even trying to discount Brady. I'm just saying.
You just hate.
I get it. I get how the numbers play out. He's been really great for a long, long time. You know what? We look at LeBron's career. Wow, I can't believe he did this.
No.
That's what greatness does.
The numbers get
accumulate.
Stupid.
They accumulate over time.
Actually, if you want to bring up LeBron, he and LeBron are the only two athletes in the last 30 years that have played in 10 championship games or rounds. He'll be the 24th athlete in the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and NHL history to play in 10 championship games or rounds. LeBron and Brady are the only ones to do this in the last 30 years. You know, all those Celtics every time. Celtics were in there every year, mm-hmm. right? So, I mean, all of those guys that were on, well, the guys that were on that team for all 11 of the championships, that's one thing. I mean, Bill Russell obviously is one of them. And I would imagine in baseball, some Yankees must have been part of that. Yeah, that run Yogi Berra had, right? But, yeah, he and LeBron are in that same neighborhood. Brady's played 19 seasons, and he's in his 10th Super Bowl. He plays in a Super Bowl more than he doesn't. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. You just hate.
I'm not. No,
because he just kicks your team's ass year after year.
It's not even about that. I'm not. It's not unbelievable because I know he. If it's a math equation, he's playing in 10 Super Bowls. So yes, the when you compare it to what everyone else has done, it's insane what he's put together. But as far as you just tracking numbers, it all makes sense because he's been great for a really long time. So I'm not wowed by it because it's like, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, yes, Brady's great. Thank you for illustrating that one more time.
He's great.
Appreciate it. We're all aware. Thank
Better
you.
Better than Dan Marino.
Not more talented, I'll say that.
Yeah. More talented.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
He's not more talented than Dan
Marino. Yeah.
No.
Why do we have a Cal McNair and a Burger King crown?
Well, someone asked about would Cal wear the Burger King crown? Yeah, that's why you have that. Don't ask questions about whether he plays the train set and expect people just let that go.
I didn't ask that question.
Who did?
I forget.
Okay.
Must have been a caller.
Sure.
Must have been a caller.
Yeah, it was a caller.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a caller. I don't know.
I can't believe someone would question whether Cal would put on the Burger King crown after I just asked if he still plays with trains.
Well, does he have a train set? That's the question.
You mean one that just, like, and then you ask if it goes throughout the entire house, like he's like Richie Rich or something. Didn't Richie Rich have that? Well, Richie Rich is born into money too. So
is he not Richie Rich?
But at least Richie Rich, his storyline revolved around like an 8-year-old, not a 50-something-year-old. What?
I'm not saying anything.
Very few people can see what you're doing, so I don't know what you're trying.
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't say anything. Did I say anything?
That doesn't mean you didn't imply something with face.
I'm telling you, there are 11-year-olds that wouldn't have let the Texans do what Cal let.
Of course not.
The Texans,
because most 11-year-olds are tech savvy, and usually if you're a football person, you're playing video games, like you pointed out, and they would say, David Johnson's like rated a 75. I'm not trading the best receiver in football for that.
For that? And a second rounder?
Yeah, of course.
No, go back and do better.
Everyone would know that, but that's not a Cal.
Go back and do better and can you tell them to make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Cal trusted his football people, and he shouldn't have.
Yeah. No, he shouldn't have. But no one would have. Listen, if you had any, that's the problem, is if you had any backbone at all, you would have said, no, that's crazy. Guys, I know you guys we're not trading DeAndre Hopkins for a second rounder and David Johnson. No, the answer is no.
It was a perfect combination of unchecked arrogance and ignorance. You had Cal on one end with the ignorance and the arrogance with Bill O'Brien. I'll do this. It'll work because I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And then Cal's like, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, sure, it'll work. Bill Bryan knows what he's doing. It'll work.
He's not Bill Bryan.
That's what Cal called him.
I know he did. 713-780-3776 to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5. On the other side, we got Ben who wants to talk about the Texans. We can delve further into that next. Don't go anywhere.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Let's get Ben in here, and then there's an article about what would and wouldn't work in a trade for Deshaun. What do you say, Ben?
Hey, what's up, guys? I had a question. If let's say like 100 of us put our money together and bought GameStop when it was at $2, do you think we would have enough money right now to buy the Texans from Cal McNair? I'll hang up and listen.
No, I don't think that turns into
billions of dollars. No,
$3.5 billion
seems unlikely, Ben.
Yeah, no. You ain't buying an NFL team by buying GameStop.
No.
GameStop
not after,
stock.
No.
I know it went up to 300.
Weeks, yeah,
but
2 weeks of this isn't going to help us, no.
You'd have to buy. If it,
if we owned Apple, we could buy the Texans.
If we owned Apple.
Yeah. And if Cal decided he actually wanted to sell, right. Yes. No, we wouldn't be able to.
17 Deshaun Watson trade proposals ranked from least likely to most likely to happen in the 2021 NFL offseason. So teams that wouldn't be interested, the Chiefs and the Seahawks. They don't want Deshaun. Teams in the division, nope. The Colts, the Jags, and the Titans. Nope, not doing that. Teams with cap constraints, the Saints, the Eagles, and the Bucks. they can't afford it. Team that doesn't have enough draft capital, the Rams. Teams in which Watson would use his no-trade clause, the Bengals and the Lions. It's not happening. Teams that would have to make an impractical swap of quarterback, Arizona, Baltimore, and Buffalo. I think Buffalo falls into, we don't want them.
Well, we
got Josh Allen on a rookie.
Isn't that what that means? Impractical? Like, it makes no sense for them to trade their young quarterback.
I guess. I mean, it's the same with the Kansas City and right. I mean, that's not Kansas City and Seattle. No, that's not happening. So then we get to So from the 17 teams that could trade for Watson, these are the teams that could at least plausibly consider a Watson deal, ranked from least likely to most likely. The least likely is the Packers. They got a deal here. Rodgers, the 30th overall pick in 2021, to the 49ers. Jordan Love to the Texans. Those 49ers would send the 12th pick overall, 2022 first round pick to the Texans, 2022 second. Never mind. It's just too complicated.
I know it's complicated. So in their trade, the Packers are trading both Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love to the Texans.
Yes, and they get Deshaun Watson.
No, I understand that, but so Aaron Rodgers, like, I can't get away from this guy even in a trade. Jordan Love's going to follow me everywhere.
Right. The most likely, the Miami Dolphins. Third, 36th, 113th pick in 2021. 2022 first round pick, fourth round pick, and Tua. Deshaun, Senio Calamete, and the 2022 third-round pick to the Dolphins.
Why do they want Calamete?
Oh, Tua goes to the Bears. The Bears send the 20th overall pick in 2021 to the Texans, 2022 fourth-round pick, conditional pick to the Dolphins.
Yeah, I was wondering why they left out the 18th pick from this year for the Dolphins, so the Texans would get an extra first
the
20th from the Bears.
Tua goes to the Bears. Why can't we get Mitchell?
Apparently, no one thinks Tua's any good anymore. Oh, you want Mitchell Trubisky?
Yeah.
Oh. Huh.
You throw Mitchell in and I'm doing this deal.
Maybe you should work for the Texans.
Hmm. All those picks to the Texans. I don't know. Maybe that would be. Carolina Panthers, the 8th and 39th overall picks in 2021, 2022 first round pick, 2023 first round pick, and Teddy Bridgewater. Texans would send 2022 third-round pick and 2023 fourth-round pick along with Deshaun.
We are approaching this from the Texans' perspective. I still do question, when it comes down to it, how many teams will be willing to give up that much. I understand the player and what he is and what he would bring to the franchise, but to pull the trigger, teams get a little sketchy when it comes. How many picks, how many first-rounders are we giving up?
Well, and I want Deshaun for more than 4 years.
Yeah, and then wouldn't you have to say we're gonna agree to a 2-year extension before you even get that far? Before you even give the
I think teams would do it, man. I think that if you look at it, Deshaun, when he was a rookie, they gave up 2 first rounders for a kid that hadn't played a down in the NFL. Three first rounders for,
was it really 2, since one of them was to use the to pick Deshaun? It was really, they gave up an extra 1, right?
An extra 1, but you're getting Deshaun Watson, which would be a pick.
No,
you're just getting up an extra 2.
What did the Texans give to whoever they traded with to get Deshaun? Was it the Browns? Who did they trade with to move up?
They traded with the Browns.
So they gave up a 1, an extra 1, right?
Right.
Okay. I don't remember the exact value of the trade. Sure, but Carolina... Does Carolina believe they're Deshaun Watson away?
It makes you a lot better.
Yeah, but if you're acquiring Deshaun Watson and giving up future capital, I would imagine Seattle gave up 2 1s for Jamal Adams because they believe they're a Super Bowl contender and they need an upgrade. If you're grabbing Deshaun Watson and you're giving up more, I would have to think you believe, because his salary implications are going to hurt you in terms of spending money, you believe you're close. And these are the calculations you have to make. It's not just you're acquiring a great quarterback.
Yeah.
Or do these teams think he's going to put them over the top?
Yeah. In the NFL, you can go from last in your division to first. with the right moves. Sure. I mean, it happens all the time in the NFC South.
But the right moves include more players than one. You don't just go, like, we know the NFC South.
Well, you still got other picks.
How many? But you're giving
and
up.
Oh, by the way, I don't know their cap space, too. Carolina wants to have a bunch of cap space.
Well, it gets hurt when you acquire the quarterback with the max deal.
Yeah. Well, he's not yet on that max
you'd
deal.
Have to, you make, I don't know what their cap space is. You're making decisions about this year, but then future-wise, when you don't have the first-round picks to get cheap labor.
Well, guess what, though? Quarterback's going to cost you $40 million now. That's a going rate for a great quarterback. That's what it's going
to
cost.
That's why I asked how close do they believe they are, because you're not going to be able to use that money on anything but him. So how close do teams who are going to acquire Deshaun think they are? Because I think that's part of the calculation. He's a great player. He's also a great player who couldn't elevate an awful roster. Carolina has a better roster, but how close are they? I think that has to be taken into account for any team making the trade.
Well, the third one, they got a San Francisco who believes they're close.
Of course. That's a team,
if
they can get it done, should make the trade.
12th overall, blah, blah, blah. Jimmy Garoppolo to the Jets. Sam Darnold to the Texans. I don't know. They get Jimmy Garoppolo for Sam. Basically, the Jets just send Sam Darnold and a fifth-round pick to the 49ers for Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know. And Deshaun gets to the 49ers with all kinds of draft capital. And Tavarius Moore. I don't know. All I know is that it looks like the Texans. Listen, Texans ain't doing it without a boatload of stuff.
And we're operating from what the media believes about Deshaun. Do we know? We're probably never going to. I guess we have to ask Lance. What do NFL teams think about him? We can assume what we believe he is, but NFL teams think?
Yeah. Yeah, they think that.
I don't know what they think.
No, I don't. You can't watch him and not say. I mean, honestly.
I mean, I can watch him in the playoffs and think, eh.
Yeah. No, he's had some, but you know what? There's a lot of teams out there that ain't getting to the playoffs without that guy. You know what? Get me to the playoffs and we'll find out whether or not he can play. They've got San Francisco third. I think Deshaun would probably like that, getting with Shanahan. The Broncos after that. They've got New England after that, and then Washington football team. I think Deshaun going, nah, no thanks. I ain't going to the Washington football team. Sorry. Thank you. Thank you, but no. 10:25 ESPN.
But they made the playoffs. Why wouldn't you want to go there?
They made the playoffs at 7-9.
Yeah, but the quarterback play was a big problem for them.
Are they really that much better than the Texans?
Yes. They went 7-9 with worse quarterback play than the Texans. They are better than the Texans. They had Alex Smith and Wayne Haskins playing.
They also had 6 games against the weakest division in football.
That's fine. Is Deshaun going to make them better against the weakest division of football? Oh, yeah. How many games did they win?
They'd be the favorite right now.
Yeah. And it's not like they were outmatched completely against Tampa, and Tampa's in a Super Bowl.
No, but where are you with regard to the rest of the league?
Well, they played Tampa, who made the Super Bowl, and they weren't destroyed, and they had like a guy they pulled off the street playing.
Put some respect on Taylor Heineke.
Did they pull him off the street to play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taylor Heineke.
If you watched that Old team Dominion. Play with Taylor Heineke, I know he blew up Rice a couple times, whatever he did. Whatever.
That's right.
Whatever. If they watch Taylor Heineke lead that Washington football team against the NFC representative in the Super Bowl, Washington's got to believe if we added Deshaun Watson, where would we be? It's not like they were completely outmatched in that game.
No, but they're still the Washington. Hey, you go from the worst owner in football to the second worst owner in football.
I don't. That has to come into play with any team he's going to go to. But if he looks at the roster and go, they're pretty good. I go play with Chase Young and the rest. That's not a bad football team if you add Deshaun to the mix.
Yeah, maybe. But if I'm him, I'm like, nah. That history, that owner, no thanks. I don't want to be a part of that. I'm getting out of that here. I'm getting out of stupidity here. I need to go to stupidity there. 10:27 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Hang with us here on ESPN 97.5.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, headlines, in case you missed them as we head into, well, our last segment is always News of the Weird, so Press Box will be talking about all of this stuff. Carlos Correa, an extension, is actually being talked about quite a bit. I've told you that a while ago, the Astros are really, really happy, really, really happy with Carlos Correa, and he is probably the guy. He is going to be the guy that is going to stay, that will be standing. George Springer signs with Toronto. The Correa is going to be here, and they're going to give him an extension. I don't know what it's going to look like. The talk is that this year he's going to make $10 million. Last year it was $8 million. The year before it was $5 million. I mean, $20 million players make more than this. $25 million players make more than this in their arbitration years. Carlos Correa ain't getting that top salary. George Springer was making 22, and he got a $25 million contract. So I don't think it's going to be, it'll be more than the 10 or 12 or whatever. But there's a lot of shortstops going to be out there after this season.
Well, if he has a year that mirrors his playoff performance, then I think all bets are off as far as how much.
Yeah, he's got to do that for a season,
though. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He has to prove health-wise and performance-wise that he is the guy we saw. And then I think the numbers might get a little scary for the Astros.
Yeah. No. Then it might be. Well, they want to do the extension. If they do the extension now, then that's another story.
Yeah. Correa would have to be betting on himself that he is that guy one more year. And then, no, I'll wait.
Yeah, but if I'm his agent and I see those names that are out there and I see this offseason, because who knows how many fans are going to be in the stands this year?
Okay.
If I'm his agent, I might go, you know what? Let's take that money.
All those names are out there, but the Astros are still going to need a shortstop. Are they going to get one of those guys for the money they'd be willing to pay?
You don't necessarily have to do that. Who knows? Who knows who you're going to get? I mean, don't have to put $20 million into the shortstop position.
You're going to, well, look
and
at...
You never know. You might move Bregman over there.
If you are saying, Carlos, let's play it out where Carlos goes, I'm going to free agency and we'll have a discussion after I have a great year. Let's say he has that great year. Are the Astros going to then decide that he had a great year, we'll let him go, so that's another core player out the door?
If it's too expensive, then yeah. I mean, yeah, you can let another guy walk. Absolutely.
Great. Then you can decide to – Greinke would be gone, correct?
Yep.
Verlander would be gone.
Right.
So are you now you full-on rebuild mode?
I don't know. I like the young staff. I don't know. Greinke's probably your third or fourth guy right now, and you're playing. You're not going to have Verlander anyway.
Well, that's what I mean by money. The money is gone, so why wouldn't you?
Oh, no. You could. But if Carlos is asking for too much, more than he's worth, yeah, who knows?
You're losing 20-plus off the books for Greinke, right?
Yeah, in that neighborhood, right.
And then you have Verlander and his 30 gone.
Right. Might be less than that since you're getting insurance money from him.
So if Carlos has a great year, I don't see the excuse not to.
Yeah. Well, right. As long as it's not unreasonable. Again,
25 is unreasonable if he has a great year.
Well, he's got to have an entire year like his postseason.
In this scenario, he has a great year like he had in the postseason.
All right. Well, then you say maybe he's turned a corner and maybe yes. Then maybe. Then 25. That makes more sense. Right now,
no.
With his numbers, it doesn't make sense.
No, so the game is the agent and Carlos will play the game that do I take the guarantee, whatever.
Right.
But if I have a great year, then I'm going to be pissed because I took the money.
Well, if I'm his agent, though, there's no indication that right now he's going to have an entire year like he had in his postseason. Zero. Plus, you're risking on a guy that has missed games every single season, full season. So
what's the good number for both then, on both sides, for an extension?
I probably start at 15, 16, 17.
And we're talking about escalators.
Escalate. And it goes up. Yeah. And it goes up.
Whew, I mean, if you're, I understand banking that money when you can.
That's still a lot of money.
I understand. We're talking about things neither one of us are going to ever approach. I get it. But if you're Carlos and you believe what you believe, I could see him going, you're insulting me a little bit. I'll prove it, and then we'll have a conversation after the season.
We'll see. We'll see what happens with this extension. We'll find out how much he's going to gamble, how much Carlos Correa is going to gamble. The Rockets won their third in a row. A lot of trash talking between John Wall and Russell Westbrook. And afterwards, I don't know. I think that they were arguing or something they were talking about because I couldn't understand him. I couldn't understand Wall, not so much Russ. What with play it again? Let's play this again. Here afterwards, the two of them got a double technical because they were going after each other last night. Wall had 24. Rockets won the game. They won it easily. Bradley Beal was very sad on the sideline. But the talk was afterwards about the double techs on Wall and Russell Westbrook. It's Wall first and then Russell.
Trash talking. I mean, that's what two competitive guys do. You know what I mean? Russ been kicking my ass for years. This is only my third win, I think, against Russ since I've been in the league. So, you know what I mean? He's a hell of a talent. I know he's dealing with injuries the same I was, and we're just trying to keep getting better and trying to lead our team. But just two competitive guys that trash talk. You know what I mean? It ain't the first time we've trash talked before. And we know how good he could be.
I don't start talking and I guess I didn't need him in the parkers to talk. And I defend myself because I don't, you know, allow people just to say anything, especially when I know the facts as it pertains to anybody on the court playing against, you know. So I think they just start talking. They just started winning at that time. So, you know, it's cool though.
I listening a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let the guys talk bleep
when I know what deal the facts is.
Yeah.
And what did he say? They only started talking once they started winning.
Yeah.
Not going to allow that. Another S word and scene.
So you're not going to talk when you're winning? I'm just not going to allow that?
He said, look, you weren't talking when the game was even or it was close or you were losing. You only started talking once you took control. I'm not about that. And he says, he also said, I don't start talking first. He apparently reacts. He doesn't, he doesn't provoke.
Aaron Rodgers explained himself. He just backtracked, just said, I'm going to be a pecker.
He said some stuff because he was upset after the game, and now he had to explain to the world, I guess. Look, I'm sure it's nothing certain, but I'm probably will be here. And that's it. That's what I took from it initially.
Yeah,
he was upset after the game.
Less than zero chance the Packers are trading Aaron Rodgers away.
Uh-huh. He said the goal of going on, he went on Pat McAfee's show to talk about it, was to silence all the douchebags out there who were talking for me.
Well, and that is, you know who the douchebags are?
Who, us?
No, JerMichael Finley. And who there's two guys that apparently are using Greg Jennings and JerMichael Finley. They have some kind of podcast or some kind of out there. And he said, at what point did J. Mike think I was a bad leader? It couldn't have been when I was up in his room every Saturday night before games, going over plays and talking about checks I was going to make and plays he was going to be the number one read. It couldn't have been when I was at the hospital the night he broke his neck and spent a couple of hours with him. It couldn't have been when I followed up and saw how he was doing. Apparently, he's not a big J. Mike fan.
Well, he's not a big J. Mike fan because he got called a bad leader by J. Mike.
Yeah. And then Greg Jennings also. It bothers me that every time there's an article, it's the same two people. And if it's not an article about me, do you ever hear their names anywhere else? At what point do you move on? You talk about me being sensitive and petty. At what point do you move on or stop telling the same stories? So that was about those. The douchebags thing was about those two guys. And then there's Curt Schilling. He says he doesn't want to be on the Hall of Fame ballot next year. He ended up with 71% of the vote, 71 plus, and you got to get 75. This is a bad move by him. When you get 71, you are in the Hall of Fame the following year.
But he's so upset, though.
But here's the deal is, okay, and actually the Hall of Fame has said, all right, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about him not being on the ballot.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're gonna meet on it, and we'll talk about him not being on the ballot next year.
You'll get what you want.
Yeah. And now it's going to be, now he said, I want to wait for the Veterans Committee because they know baseball. These writers don't. Guess what just happened, Curt Schilling? You are not getting voted in. And guys who get 71% get voted in the following year.
You think he was a little reactionary and jumping the gun a little bit?
Maybe. That doesn't sound like
Curt him, Schilling, right? He wouldn't just talk out of his ass or say something really, really inflammatory too quickly?
Or something that's really stupid?
Yeah. You don't think so? Goes against his character, doesn't it?
Maybe that's exactly what Curt Schilling
does. Oh, that is what he does all the time. Okay. Now that that's cleared up.
That's right. That is Curt Schilling. Sorry.
This is one of those times you go, hold. One more year, Curt.
Was it Sandy Hook he was?
Yeah, I read the story earlier. One of the baseball writers who did not vote him in this year, who had previously said, look, part of the qualifications is character. And when he tweeted out that he believed that Sandy Hook was a hoax, I was out on him. Sandy Hook, that was where the kids at Sandy Hook Elementary were, that school shooting. A lot of kids obviously died in that. And he said, nah, hoax. And the writer's like, okay, bye. Done with you.
Dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's dumb anyway. And Tennessee has hired Josh Heupel. You hyped about it?
I'm not a Tennessee fan. I don't care. Good luck. I mean, you look at their string of coaches. You had Kiffin. You had Dooley. You had Derek Dooley. You had Butch Jones. You had Jeremy Pruitt. All have ended in failure. Like Kiffin actually just left after a year, so we don't know if he would have failed or not. I mean, Danny White was the AD at UCF, so he brought his guy over. It's been diminishing returns at UCF since Scott Frost left. Really good year his first year, Josh Heupel. 10-win season the next year, 6-4 this year. Maybe you attribute that to COVID. But if you look at recruiting, that hasn't gone well. Offense is still really good. Retained or hired a kind of a retread defensive coordinator and Randy Shannon, so the defense hasn't played up to the offensive level, certainly. It feels like you got a good AD with a good name, but then he just brought his guy along. I don't know who would have turned Tennessee down. There's some talk of James Franklin. They went after him from Penn State, and maybe he turned it down. I'm not sure. All that stuff is kind of shrouded in secrecy, but it is not being met with a lot of enthusiasm. When you just hired the UCF coach that you hired in your last stop, great. We'll see. If Josh Heupel can coach, he can coach. But coming off a 6-4 year, it's not great for Tennessee people who are looking for enthusiasm. But the winning the press conference or winning the news cycle doesn't matter. Go out and win some games.
10:43 ESPN 97.5 News of the Weird coming your way next right here on our big station. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. This is interesting, Del. China's latest measure to check surge in COVID cases? Anal swabs.
I'd
rather have
the
COVID.
Brain thing that they do or the
brain thing. I'd rather have COVID.
Well, you've had it.
I'm not doing anal swabs.
I don't know. I mean, if you gave me that the option of the initial thing that we saw that where it felt like they're digging into that guy's brain, I mean, swipe it back there once and I'm good.
China's ramping up its efforts to neutralize the coronavirus as new outbreaks test its already stringent pandemic strategy. With another weapon added to an arsenal of border curbs, mass testing and hard lockdowns, anal swabs. Now, I see.
It's just a little.
It involves the insertion of a saline-soaked cotton swab about 2 to 3 centimeters into the anus. No. No. Thanks. No.
Hey, you don't know what you're missing, John. I'm out. Get a little fun and no, safety. Oh,
you think that's good, clean fun for the whole family.
I didn't say it was for the whole family.
Apparently, multiple business owners are having a rough time. In Galen, they were fined by police for breaking curfew while they were trying to prevent rioters from breaking into their stores. So, which would you rather have? The fine? Or would you rather have your store rioted?
Well,
looted?
How much is the fine? I imagine it's less than the looting potential.
There's 95 euros each. Yeah, you're going to say
you're
saving
fine.
Money. You're saving a lot of money.
All right, fine me. I don't care.
Yeah. But I'm not sure that's really the
it's not the essence of what the law is.
No, I don't think that. I think the curfew law is trying to protect everybody from, if you're trying to save your business from being looted and rioted, I don't know. I think I might let you pass.
That's because you're soft on crime.
Mm-hmm. Dell, a Chick-fil-A employee helped when there was vaccine traffic. Apparently, this Chick-fil-A employee helped them guide a drive-through vaccine, and he actually uncongested the entire deadlock.
Well, Chick-fil-A employees are perfect for that because for lunchtime, they'll send them outside of the building and they take orders and to move the line along, particularly now when they're, I think their dine-in places are all closed. So you can only get your food through drive-through. That's the perfect person to do that. They're efficient. It doesn't surprise me at all. Much like all of Tom Brady's records. You tell me a Chick-fil-A employee uncongested a line. Makes sense.
How about this? This was in South Carolina, in Mount Pleasant. When massive traffic from a software glitch plagued a COVID-19 vaccine site in South Carolina over the weekend, the city's mayor knew exactly who to call when the going got real tough. They called Chick-fil-A.
Of course. I told you. They are great at moving people through a line.
They are awesome at that.
In other places, like Whataburger, is a different story.
Yeah.
Don't call the Whataburger employees. Call the Chick-fil-A employees.
Who's fighting COVID in Philly? A 22-year-old CEO with virtually no healthcare experience got picked to run the first mass vaccination clinic in Philadelphia. He has no experience. He's working toward his degree at Drexel.
So,
and a C-suite executive in 3 different businesses, a real estate firm. He's a CEO, a biotech company, and most notably, an organization called Philly Fighting COVID.
Is this more out of bounds than the guy who got fired for saying, quote-unquote, colored people get it because of their lack of hygiene, and then he was running?
No, I'd rather have this kid.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I'd rather have this kid.
Seems like a smart kid.
Yeah.
No,
he seems like he's sharp, but there's nobody better. There's nobody.
I mean, look at the pool. You have the guy who uses the word colored
when
describing people, and this. I don't know if the pool is very deep.
Yeah. I don't know. I just kind of feel like we can get a better.
You mean a 22-year-old non-graduate shouldn't be the one running?
Yeah, right.
You think they're a public health official with more experience could do the job?
Listen, I'd like to help everybody out with their vaccines, but I got a test.
And I got to play beer pong a little later, too.
Right.
I don't know if I can get to work today.
That just seems like. Here's a headline. Families find throwing laptops and Wi-Fi at students isn't enough to bridge digital divide.
That's not a great sentence. I get what they're saying.
I don't understand what they're saying.
They're saying just giving students laptops and Wi-Fi isn't enough.
Oh, I thought they were throwing them at
them. No, that's what I'm saying. It's not a great sentence, but I figured out what they're talking about.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't know how do you throw Wi-Fi at someone?
Exactly. The laptop, huh, you're throwing laptops. Then I heard the Wi-Fi.
The router?
And then I realized, okay, they're talking about, hey, just tossing technology at the problem doesn't help.
Well, here's somebody to be proud of, Dell. The Proud Boys leader.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he was prolific. He was a prolific informer for law enforcement.
These type of things don't surprise me. Like Whitey Bulger, wasn't he a rat too?
Was Whitey Bulger a rat?
I believe he was a rat too.
Before he escaped and lived for 20 years without being caught?
Escaped, or maybe they let him go for all his contributions.
Yeah, with how well he contributed?
Yeah.
He was kind of a bad guy.
He was an awful guy.
Yeah, awful person. And what about Enrique Tarrio, though? Is he a bad guy?
Sounds like a guy I don't want to make comment on.
He sounds like a Proud Boy to me. Do you hear the stories about like 35 FBI agents breaking down the door, coming in and just destroying your house and for all of these people that are, man, the FBI don't fool around when they're going to arrest you. They don't say, come down to the station.
It's not
5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, they don't play.
They don't play.
It's not come down to your own recognizance.
No.
They make arrests, particularly for, these aren't, although some of the people involved in the insurrection were actually had these high paying jobs. But for the non-white collar type stuff, nah. Even the white collar stuff, we're going to knock on your door and we're going to embarrass you. We're going to walk you in front of your neighbors. We're going to make a scene as a deterrent. We're not playing games. Yeah, I thought to myself as soon as this stuff was going on, a lot of you are in for a lot of hurt.
Dumb.
A lot of hurt.
This is going to be bad. This is going to be bad for you. Here's another Chick-fil-A story. A woman was upset by the COVID-19 protocols. Apparently, she didn't want to wear a mask. And so she threw a brick through a window at the Chick-fil-A. Do you think that this slowed down the drive-thru at all?
This is my thought. She wasn't even allowed in the dining room, right?
Yeah, she was out in the... Right.
That's
but
not...
she did she not have a mask? So she...
No, but did this Chick-fil-A even let people in the dining area?
I don't...
Because I would have to hope so, because you don't need to wear a mask in your car, right? And no, it didn't slow down the drive-thru. They're so efficient, it wouldn't matter. No, nothing slows down that drive-thru.
Nothing slows.
Because it's not like they're...
That's the answer.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A's tops when it comes to customer service. They say, my pleasure when you say thank you. How can you beat it?
Oklahoma might have made a bad call here. Apparently, they stockpiled $2 million worth of hydroxychloroquine.
Oh, you mean what was pushed as a cure?
As a cure? And they said, let's buy up as much as we can. Yeah. Now
they got to eat it.
Now their attorney general's office has been tasked with attempting to return. We don't want to.
Nah, we're good.
We're good.
No, no take backs.
One, two, three, no take backs.
Yeah. What?
No.
It's been stored in one of your facilities for how long now? We're good. Yeah. Props to whoever negotiated that contract on the seller side, because they knew they had a sucker.
Yeah. No, hey, they want $2 million worth. Really? They don't.
And considering the fervor at the time, I imagine they got way more for the product than they normally would. Here, yeah. Oh, no, we've got multiple people bidding on this. You might want to up your bid.
Yeah.
$2 million worth.
Get us $2 million, please. We'll take $2 million. Is that every other? Yeah, all the other states. I don't know if I can get it for you.
California, right now at 1.9. You better go up to 2. I mean, they told me they were hard set at 1.9, but 2 can get this for you because Idaho's coming in. Dummies.
Yeah.
This is one of the times where when Texas people get after Oklahoma, I'm like, okay, you're right on this one.
Do you see this? Coors Light has a big game commercial. It's all about your dreams. I don't know how I didn't get in this one. Dream about Coors Light.
Wouldn't the dream just be about Coors Light?
Yeah.
So Coors Light is not one of the people, because Anheuser-Busch, you know, one of your competitors, we talked about how they're not paying for Super Bowl ads. What they're doing is donating that money to COVID relief stuff.
Right.
So Coors Light is like, we're a business.
Yeah.
We want people to buy Coors Light. Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to be in the big game or it's their big game dream. I don't know.
Are you allowed to say Super Bowl since you're not? Can we just say Super Bowl?
Nope. I can't say it.
It's not an ad. It's not a live spot for Coors Light. You can say Super Bowl.
I can't say it. Not when I'm talking about Coors Light.
Okay.
Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing.
Blue
Mountains. The world's most refreshing beer.
You should have a lot of them. Not just today, but leading up to Super Bowl. Everyone should.
Everyone should also have a hoop from Hoop Sporting Goods and Equipment. If you're looking for the best way to have fun in your front yard, people, there is no better way. There is nothing better than a Hoop Sporting Goal. I'm telling you, when your kids get a hold of this, they are going to love it, people. The kids can't enjoy a 10-foot goal. And oh, by the way, your wife's not going to enjoy a 10-foot goal that's stapled to the garage with the white paint that's chipping on the backboard and the rim that's bent and no net. And I'm telling you, it looks like trash. And you should see how long-lasting with the unrustable stanchion, with the tempered glass backboard, with the unbreakable rim. It is fantastic. The kids can hang on it all day. And, oh, by the way, so much more fun than any other goal. So if you're looking for that goal, perfect goal for your kids, Keith Date has done it. He's been doing it forever. He's the best guy to work with. The installation is second to none. The service, everything else. You're looking for the best goal? Come on. Hoops. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5.